Brother Jorge Acevedo.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good, right? There's something unique that I love about our church, right? And is that we're united in Christ, but we're divided when it comes to baseball. Right? You guys didn't catch that one, huh? We're united in Christ, but divided when it comes to baseball, right? Some of us stopped watching baseball, and others still continue to watch baseball, right? For all my Yankee fans, right? I had to. I know we're celebrating pastors and associate pastors this week, and that was for all my Yankee pastors here, right? let's stand up. And I believe that God is going to speak to some people here today. And I believe that God is going to change somebody's heart. I know he's going to minister here. Let's pray for this word beforehand. Father, Lord, we come before your presence. We give you glory and honor. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for your word. What it does, what it was sent forth to do, Lord, is to restore, to build. I thank you for your holy anointing, Lord. As we minister this word, Lord, let it not be me, Lord. Let it be your Holy Spirit. Let the hearts listen to what you have to say this morning, Father God. You're so faithful, Lord, and you always come on time, Father Lord. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So the theme this morning, you could be seated. It's the heart's condition. The heart's condition. And the scripture is found on 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. It says, and it goes like this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 16, 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How's your heart this morning? How's the condition of your heart this morning? Right? Because as believers and as Christians, we're striving to have a heart after God. As believers, we're striving to get closer to God. And to get closer to his heart and to love what God loves and reject what God rejects. How's your heart this morning? How does the heart become a heart of a good condition or bad condition? How do we get there, right? So the Bible talks a lot about the mind, right? The mind. And before your heart could become in good condition, if it's in bad condition, the battle starts in the mind, right? So the mind is like a filter. Hundreds and thousands of thoughts daily going through your mind. And what God's word does, right? Romans 12, verse 2 says that we should be transformed and renewed through our mind. Right? That's what Romans 12:2 says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what God's word does, what fellowshipping with believers do, what communion in church does, it protects your mind. How many can say amen? It creates these spiritual barriers mentally so that when the thoughts come, it can filter and reject what's not of God's and accept what is of God. How many can say amen to that, right? It rejects and it accepts. It filters what is of the Lord, right? It's like barriers. So when the enemy's trying to penetrate the barriers, the Lord says, wait a minute, wait, not here, buddy. You can't penetrate this mind, right? Because your mind has intake of God's word. And when you intake God's word, it protects you. How many can say amen? I love that God's word protects the mind of the believer. It shields the mind of the believer. Why? Because God has a mission with the believer. And if the mind is not shielded, God cannot accomplish his mission. If the enemy penetrates through the mind and hits the heart, God cannot accomplish his mission. How is your mind this morning? I have an example, right? If you don't take your car to get maintenance, every 3,000 miles, we should take our car to get an oil change, right? If you don't take your car to get maintenance, guess what's going to happen to your engine if you don't change that oil? You're going to be somewhere going down to the Poconos, and smoke is going to start coming up. Why? Because you ought to maintenance your vehicle. Our mind needs to be maintenance daily with God's word. It needs to be maintenance with God's word daily. It needs to be maintenance fellowshipping with believers. It needs to be maintenance coming to church and coming to prayer service. It needs to be maintenance. Are you running on old oil this morning? Are you running with yesterday's blessing still today? Because the God I serve has new blessings every single day. The God I serve does a blessing today, we'll do one tomorrow, we'll do one for the rest of the week. Am I still running with yesterday's blessing? Am I still running with yesterday's promises? Because God has a new one for you this morning. Are we running with old oil? Can we worship the name of the Lord? The condition of the heart matters to God. The condition of your heart matters to God. I'll say it one more time. The condition of your heart matters to God. God is interested and is concerned with your matter. God is interested and concerned with what's going on inside of you. God is interested and concerned with a single mother that carries her kids to church all the time and sometimes feels like she's tired and can't go on another day. God is concerned with you, mom. God is concerned with the father that's trying to work and juggle the finances of the home and trying to protect his home and provide and still trying to be the high priest. God is concerned with you, dad. Because it matters to God. Because everything that happens matters to God. I love that about him. I love that about the gospel, that some people, it might not matter to you. It might not matter to your family members, but your matter does matter to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It matters. It matters. He's interested in how you feel and what you're going through. He's interested in working in that matter, in that condition. Thank you, Lord. Because if the heart is in good condition, our emotions and our feelings are in good condition. If the heart is in good condition, we can make good conscience decisions that will lead us in the right path. Because our heart is right, our mind is right, our decision making is right. Hallelujah. Can I show you what a bad heart looks like? Get the surgeon, get the gloves out. We're going to operate, right? Can I show you what a heart that's not in good condition looks like? Let's open up to Samuel chapter 15. Israel's first king, King Saul. God gives him, anoints him, and gives him specific instructions, gives him a task. Gives him a task. What's the task? He says, go and destroy the city and all the Amalekites that are in there. Go and wipe everything out. Cattle, women, children, husband. Wipe out the entire place clean. Some of us will say, whoa, why is God telling him that? Well, God is giving him an order.
But what does verse 8:15 says? He says he took King Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people, he totally destroyed with the sword. But wait a minute, didn't God tell him to just destroy everything? But he decided to bring the king alive, right? He decided to disobey God's word, disobey God's orders. If you keep reading the chapter, the Bible says that Samuel catches up to him. Because God told Samuel, well, I rejected him. So you better go break that news. So he catches up to him, right? And look what he tells Samuel in verse 20, 15, 20. You're going to love this. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back King Agag, their king. How does that sound? I did what Samuel, come on. I did do what you told me to do. I did complete the mission. And Samuel's like, look what verse 15:24 says. Look at the condition of Saul's heart this morning. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. But didn't God send you? Didn't God give you the order? How can you be afraid? Look what verse 30 says of 15. Because he was like, Samuel, just come back with me come back. So the people will at least respect me. He disobeyed. Could you please come? Look what verse 30 says. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that we may worship the Lord, your God. That heart is in bad condition. You see what response he gives them? Come and honor me before my people. Saul's heart was in bad condition. His heart was full of arrogance, full of self, prideful. There was no repentance in what he did. It's quiet in here. Can we worship the Lord? Beth Moore quotes, his crown was bigger than his passion. His crown was bigger than his passion. He failed to examine the conditions of his heart, and it led him down a dark path. That's what a bad heart looks like. But when someone chooses not to fulfill a mission, God has a backup to the backup to the backup. That's what I love about the kingdom of God. If someone decides that they don't want to do or they don't want to serve, well, guess what? God has a backup to the backup to the backup to the backup. God's kingdom will move forward. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, He made a wrong judgment of character, right? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord does not consider his appearance. Whose appearance? God sent Samuel to anoint the son of Jesse. And when he hits the home, Jesse had about 8 children, right? And Eliab was the one that was like, you know, good stature, 6 foot, worked out, nice, handsome, hair always combed. God, Samuel saw him and said, well, this is the king. This is him. And God says, it's not him. Because sometimes we do things. Sometimes we have a tendency of looking at what's in the exterior of people. Sometimes we have a tendency of looking what's outside. But it's what's inside that God is interested in. Sometimes we look at people and we say, oh man, this person, you ever been to a job interview? The first thing they look at is what you're wearing, how you dressed, and how you represent yourself.
You don't even have to speak, but they'll look at you and say, well, he's for the job. You might not even know how to do the job. But if you dress well and you represent yourself well and you say the first couple words right, hey, how you doing, sir? How's everything? Man, this is the right guy. Then you get behind a desk and you figure out that you went over your head. Don't let no one discourage you. Don't let no one tell you what you're capable and what you're not capable of doing. Don't let no one tell you, well, you're not qualified. Because when people say you're not qualified, God says you're qualified. Don't let no one tell you, well, you're not capable, you're not smart enough, your intellect is not very high. Because when people label you, God says, well, this is just the perfect person to show off. When people tell you you're not qualifying, you can't do it, God says, well, I'm gonna show those haters, right? How I work. And when people unqualify you, God steps in and qualifies you. Don't let no one discourage you. And I love what Pastor says all the time. No one should have influence over your life to the point where they say something good or bad and it affects you. Because God is the one that you should be concerned about. God is the one that you should be concerned of how he thinks about you. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't let no one discourage you. And don't let no one unqualify you. You are who God says you are. Like Pastor Sister Ruth said this morning, right? Deacon Ruth. She said, you are what God says you are. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Who are you? I'm royalty. That's what I am. My father is the King of Kings. You better watch it because the Bible says that he's my big brother. So don't come unqualifying me. Because when you unqualify, don't let no one tell you what you are capable of. I don't know why I'm saying that. Because some people, they get so caught up with what others think about them that it stops them from moving in the kingdom of God. Well, you don't know how to teach? Well, God will show you how to teach. You don't know how to preach? Well, God has been showing me how to preach, and he'll show you how to preach. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't let no one tell you what you are and what you're not. God is God. I want to highlight 4 principles from David's life. That'll show you what a heart in good condition looks like. We saw a heart in bad condition. Let's see what a heart in good condition looks like. David, in Samuel 17. Oh man, this is epic. This is epic, I gotta tell you. Right? Because it's recorded in history, right? How David steps up to the front lines of battle. Versus Goliath. But look what chapter 17, verse 28 say, right? The Bible says, Jesse said, hey, listen, David, go take some bread to your brothers up in the battlefield over there. And Jesse comes up. You got to read the whole chapter. I can't read it for you. But it says, verse 28 says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, wait, Eliab, isn't this the same guy that Samuel thought was the king? Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger. You know what David was saying, right? Who is this clown? This uncircumcised Philistine who defiles the armies of the living God. Who is this guy? And Eliab heard, because he was asking the guys, who is this guy? Everybody was scared. And Eliab says his heart burned with anger at him and asks, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know
how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Don't let no one tell you. I'm going to rewind. Don't let no one tell you what you're qualified and unqualified for. Even his brothers say you got a wicked heart and you come here to see what's going on. And you know what his response was? I love his response. He goes, now what have I done? Read, it's in the Bible. It's like a little brother, right, to his big brother. What now? What is it with you? You know, what is it? I grew up with a house of four brothers, three sisters. And it's like, what is it now? What's going on? What's the problem now? Right? Does that resonate with you? Those that have big families, right? What is it now? But look what verse 34 says. It says, but David said to Saul, because Saul heard. He says, bring this kid over here. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came, I carried off the sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. Man, David talking, he's sure that this is going to happen. Because when you filter your heart with God's word, when you filter your heart with God's passion and desires, when you filter your heart with his word, you are sure about how this battle is going to end. You are sure of how this is going to work out. And David says, I'm going to do to this Philistine like I've done in the past. Because I know in the past, God provided and he's going to provide now. I know in the past, God saved me and he'll save that person now. I know what he's done yesterday, but he's going to do it now as well. And David spoke with this assurance. You see, because when obstacles rise in your life, when situations rise in your life, you can either let Goliath taunt you, or you can take Goliath's head off. You can let Goliath tell you, well, you know something? Your marriage, it's close, buddy. It's close. You know what? You remember that first time you walked down the aisle? I do, honey, I do. I do, I love you. Till death do us apart. Through sickness and death, through sickness and health, everything. We're into the end. But the enemy comes, and Goliath rises and starts taunting your marriage. And by the time you know it, Goliath is telling you, well, you're going to get divorced soon. It's just not working out. You see, because it's easy to enjoy the blessing, but it takes a battle to keep it. Oh, it's easy to walk down the aisle, but you discover a couple years later that you're fighting to keep that marriage healthy. You're fighting to keep that marriage saved. Oh, man, it's easy. When Goliath taunts you with your finances and he tells you, well, you ain't got enough to pay your rent. Let's see how this is going to work out. When Goliath taunts you and tells you, well, your kids ain't safe in school no more. When Goliath taunts you and tells you, this is just not going to work out for you because you're not capable and you're not worthy enough. When Goliath taunts you, there's got to be something inside of you. There's got to be something inside of you that says, well, you can bring what you got, buddy, but we're going to fight this out. David had something in him that said, who is this who defiles the living God? Who is this guy? Look what it says on verse 45. It says, David said to this Philistine, what are you telling your Goliath? What are you telling him? Does Goliath at this very moment has you pinned to the wall where you don't know what to do? Or are you going to tell him something?
Because this is important. How you act and how you carry out God's word through faith means everything. David says, well, look what he tells Goliath. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. What are you telling God this morning? Are you going to let Goliath destroy your marriage? Are you going to let Goliath destroy your kids? Are you going to let Goliath destroy your home? What are you telling him this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. It says, whom you've defied, Israel, whom have you defied? This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Goliath got to recognize who God's people is. Goliath has to recognize that we are the church living the last days, but we ain't powerless. Goliath has to recognize that when you come against a king, a son of a king, or a daughter of a king, you're going to have a problem. Do you have some power? Or you're running on old oil still? Do you have a fight in you to tell him, well, no weapon formed will prosper? This house is washed by the blood of Jesus. You know, it almost gets boring when you see Christians walking like this. I just don't know what's going on. I just don't know how to figure this out. Right here. T.D. Jakes said this years ago, and I never forgot it. I was probably about 23 years old. I was listening to T.D. Jakes, right? I would always walk into my dad's house. He had T.D. Jakes on. I said, man, you're looking like him. You're starting to look like him. The suits, the shoes, the cut of the pants, right? But I sat down, and I listened, and T.D. Jakes said this, and I never forgot it. He says, when you are lost, when you don't know what's going on, just follow the instructions of the book. And it hit me. Because sometimes people walk around like they don't know what's going on. Follow the instructions of God's living word. Don't let Goliath have his way. You tell Goliath you ran into the wrong house. You tell him we're going to fight this out. Because you can't have my marriage. You got to let him know. And David had a way of letting Goliath know. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, oh man, if you keep reading, he was very specific. You got to tell him, it stops today. What condition you come in here with today? It's going to stop today, Goliath. It's going to stop today. Some people will live mediocre Christian lives. They will never experience what God fully has for them. Because they will never, some people will just satisfy and will never devote themselves 100%. I love what Pastor always says here. He says, it's a holistic blessing. It's here on earth, it's as it is in heaven. It's at work as it is in your home. It's everywhere you walk. Everywhere you step in, you step out, you have the power to bless. But some people will wonder, what's going on? What's going on? Goliath is taunting you, but tell him today it stops. Tell him, I'm going to fight for my husband that hasn't been saved yet. I'm going to fight for my son who's out in the streets. I'm going to fight. This is worth fighting for. You better strike Goliath down. David, another key point in his life. So he fought Goliath, but he was really fighting for his faith. He was fighting for who God was and what God represented, right? Goliath wasn't really picking on David, but Goliath was picking on the faith. Oh, man. Who is this one who defiles the armies of the living God? It bothered David. And he says, well, we all going to watch? Guess what? God is looking for someone to say, well, I'm tired of watching. I'm tired of just sitting here and letting Goliath have his way with me. I'm tired. And you know something? I'm going to step on that front line of battle and let it cost everything I have, but we're going to fight this out. I love that about David. You got to take them out. You got to take them out. David also had a heart that desired God. A heart that desired God. Look at Psalms. Let's open this up. Psalms 63. Look at his desire for God. When was the last time you sat and drank a cup of coffee and you reminisced? You thought of everything God has done in your life. When was the last time you just kicked up the chair and looked up and say, you are everything that I will ever need? When was the last time that you looked up and say, if I lose everything and I have you, I still have everything? When was the last time you say, God, you're everything that I will ever need? Look at how the Psalms express themselves. David, it says, you God, my God, earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you. My whole heart being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Praise the name of the Lord. I will be fully satisfied as the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down in the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for the jackals. But, verse 11, but the king will rejoice in God, and all who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of the liars will be silenced. This is his passion. This is where his heart is. His heart is to praise and honor God at all times. We can't praise God and honor God when things are going good. We got to praise and honor God when all hell is breaking loose. We got to praise and honor God when the son is acting crazy, when the husband wants to sleep downstairs. Where is your heart this morning? When was the last time you said, I rejoice in who you are, Lord? You know something? Apostle Paul and David. Oh man, this is moving. Move, I'm going to get this done. Apostle Paul and David had something similar. Apostle Paul said, we are like open epistles. People read us. David said, you have the power and the capability of writing your own psalm. What does your psalm look like? Have you ever sang to the Lord and said, thank you, Jesus, for your sovereign grace and mercy? You've rescued me from the corner, from the streets. I thank you, Lord. You've clothed me. You did the great exchange. You took my filthy rags and you clothed me with your blood. Hallelujah. That's a psalm. What's your psalm look like this morning? What's the condition of your heart this morning? Hallelujah. We can't forget David. He had a heart that constantly repented. David, there ain't no moving forward if there ain't repentance. You cannot move forward if you don't find repentance before the Lord. And what I love about God is when we mess up, because we're going to mess up, because the last time I checked, we were all dressed in this flesh still. What I love about God is that when we mess up, He still forgives us. He still loves us. What I love about him, he says, well, you know, you got consequences to what you did. But after these consequences, I still love you. I still forgive you. What did he do? The Bible says that there was a time where the kings were supposed to go to battle. He stood behind. He just said, well, let those guys fight it out. He came out, walked on the roof, saw a beautiful woman. He asked for the woman. She came in. His household was so wicked that the guys that he sent obeyed him and brought the lady in, right? Everybody was just so messed up in the kingdom at that point. And they said, well, go in. They walked in. He got her pregnant. He sent her husband to the front line of battles. They murdered him. I mean, David got another man's wife pregnant, murdered her husband. I mean, this guy's just, what happened to David? I'll tell you what happened. He's human. And he messed up. The difference between him and Saul was that Saul justified his disobedience. David said, I've sinned before the Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And he pens down Psalms 51. Return the joy of your salvation, Lord, because these bones are dried and sick. Oh, man, how's your heart this morning? Have you done something that you need forgiveness? There's forgiveness in the house. There's forgiveness here today. Because God is interested in what's going on in your heart. Forget about who's next to you. Tell him, I need you, Lord. There was one more thing, and we're going to wrap it up. He fought for his faith. His heart desired God. His heart was for the faith, right? His heart desired God. Praise the name of the Lord. His heart was a heart of repentance. And there was one more thing that I felt like God wanted you to listen to this morning. His heart was a warrior's heart. His heart was a warrior's heart. On 1 Samuel 30, it records David coming back from battle. And him and his men are coming back home to the wives, the children. They're coming, but they find out that when they get home, the Amalekites, the same people Saul refused to destroy, the very same people, the Amalekites, have raided David's camp and taken all the women slave, their children slave. Everybody was taken. The Bible says that they wept so there were no more tears. Psalms, 1 Samuel 30 says, verse 8. Verse 4 says, so David and his men wept out loud until they had no strength to weep. Have you ever wept so there was no more tears? Have you ever been through something that really shaked your foundation? Where you just don't have no more strength for another tear to come out. Because David and his men wept that way. You ever heard the saying? Mess with a man's family, you're going to find out. Mess with a woman's kids, and you're going to find out. That was going on there. David came in and found out that the very blessings God have given him were taken away. Are you going to let Satan take what God's given you? Are you going to let him just come in and destroy everything that God has built in your life? I mean, I've been serving the Lord for 15 years, and I can tell you, I've shed a lot of tears. And I've fought. And 15 years, God's blessed me. God has blessed me in ways that I cannot imagine. And guess what? Those blessings, they still keep coming. Because God says, I'll take my children from glory to glory. But David did something. He just didn't weep till there were no more tears. The man that he was with said, well, we're going to stone you, David. Because look what's happened to us. Because if we are following you, look where we at. There's no, I don't know where my wife is, my son. And David said, well, I only have one solution, the solution I've always had. Verse 8 says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And God answered. Don't you love when God answers? Because God is going to answer. Because God always comes on time. He's never too late. Never too late or never too early. He steps right in the middle. And he said, pursue them. He answered, you will certainly overtake them and succeed in your rescue. David goes out with 600, but 200 says, David, we can't go no more. 200 lost it a little bit. They got tired. Where are you this morning? Don't get tired on me. You shedding tears, don't get tired. Because God will come on time. David says, it's all right. I'm going to continue. And the Bible says that they rescued everything a tenfold. Because God will do what he said he will do. Because there ain't nothing impossible for our living God. Hallelujah. And David could rejoice. Hallelujah. Is our heart like the heart of David this morning? Are we desiring to love God? Are we in pursuit? Are we going to let the enemy take what God's given us? No, I know that someone in here is saying, well, it's going to stop today. I've been through this too long. God will do what he said he will do in your life. God got everything in his hands. He has your provision, your family. How are you going to do 10 years from now? He knows it. It's going to be all right. It's a fixed fight. Church, stand up to your feet. Hallelujah. It's a fixed fight. Hallelujah. I got my money on Jesus. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I got my faith on Jesus. Jesus is not going to fail you. But you're going to have to fight for this. The stakes are high here. It has to do with your salvation. It has to do with you spending eternity in the heavens. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How does your psalm sound like this morning? Hallelujah. With all eyes closed, how does your psalm sound this morning? Because he has been faithful. He will never leave you or forsake you. How does your psalm sound this morning? He saved me, hallelujah. He saved my marriage, hallelujah. He provided where there was no door, hallelujah. Oh, God, can you just lift up your hands, church? Give freedom and liberty to the Holy Spirit right now, hallelujah. To minister, it's gonna be okay, hallelujah. I got something good for you, hallelujah. Yeah, my soul, I got everything in my hands. Hallelujah. We worship your name, Holy Spirit. Hover upon your people. Hover upon your church. Heal the hearts. If you need help applying this word, the altar's open. As our worship team comes up, I need you, Jesus. Are everything to me, Jesus. King Jesus, you are everything. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. The altar's open, church.
Who am I that the highest King would I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.